Hi, everyone, and welcome back to season two of Therapists in the Wild. If you might be new to our podcast, I'm Liza.
And I'm Molly.
And we're the Therapists in the Wild. We are a podcast about learning and applying dialectical behavior therapy skills in all of our daily lives, including our own.
Yes. And we are super excited to be back. We have really, really missed doing this over the break. Yeah. And we are excited for a great season that we have planned. Just to do a quick review, since it's been a little while. Last season, we talked about mindfulness. We covered the emotion regulation skills, distress tolerance, and interpersonal effectiveness skills. So we went through all the DBT skills for the most part. And I think for this season, it will be helpful if you can go back and listen to all the episodes in season one so you can learn the skills, because from here on out, we're going to be focusing more on applying them generally to different situations that might come up in our lives.
Yeah, and we're going to have some guests. We're going to talk about special topics. We're going to keep answering all of our wonderful listener emails. So please continue to ask your questions and we'll try to get to them if we can. Just to kind of go through some housekeeping stuff up top. We wanted to tell you all that the reason that we needed this break, as much as we missed doing it, was because in addition to doing this podcast, we both have very full-time demanding jobs. And at the same time, making this podcast is one of our favorite professional endeavors, really of all time. So there's a dialectic there, right? And we need to accept the reality, just to go over some DBT skills, that we both love this. We want to keep doing it as much as possible. And we also have our jobs that we need to attend to.
Yeah. And so Liza and I we've been doing some thinking about how we can make this more sustainable, because we really want to make sure that we can keep doing it. And we decided that we can keep this up if we do monthly episodes instead of weekly episodes. And if you are amazing audience, if you stay engaged, continue to share our podcast, rate, review, and subscribe. And especially important now that we're doing monthly episodes to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. That would help us out a lot. And we can keep doing this for as long as people are interested.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because we really, really want to keep doing this. And to that end, we have some exciting news to share, which is that we are branching out as the Therapists in the Wild, and we are launching a website today, actually. Ooh. Yeah, it's so exciting. We've been working hard during the break on, as we said, planning season two, thinking about how to make it more sustainable, and offering some other services that we've been working on. And so that's really going to keep continuing to evolve, really, as our audience needs evolve, because what we're trying to do is stay very responsive to what people have been asking for and what we see as the need based on the feedback that we get. So what we're going to start with is we're going to offer one-on-one consulting or coaching services for other therapists, other professionals in related fields who are interested in learning more about DBT, practicing their DBT skills as treatment providers. And please see our website for more details. You know, it's not just DBT. We're going to offer support in other types of therapy as well, based on our training. So please check us out for now. We're going to keep growing. That's what we're offering at this point. We are at therapistsinthewild.com. Yes. It's the first time I've said that. Sounds so good out loud.
I know. It sounds great. And for those of you who aren't therapists and might be looking for some additional resources, we're also going to try to make our website a place that has some links to different resources, like other podcasts, books you might be able to read, other kind of educational DBT related resources, so you can continue to learn more about DBT and practice those skills.
So let's move on to today's episode. We are going to be talking about when unwanted emotions like anger, hurt, sadness, grief, might be actually effective to act on rather than opposite to.
Yes. And this is something that was inspired by some listener questions, actually. It's also something that Liza and I happen to talk about a lot, and we were just excited to do this episode on this topic.
Yes.
And we also did get some questions about it, like, is opposite action always the best approach to deal with unwanted emotions, or is it maybe sometimes actually effective to act on anger, for example?
Yeah, you know, I, over the weekend, was spending time with my nieces, who are babies, and I just had this thought when I was watching them, like, their lives are so different from mine, obviously in every way, including that whenever they have an emotion, and I might not be able to name it, they might not be able to name it, but clearly they're having emotions, right? They're babies, they're humans. They just express it, right? Because they have no tools to do anything other than cry when they're sad or angry or whatever else it might be, right? Scrunch up their face in a way that shows me that they are upset. And I actually was feeling kind of jealous of them because, you know, what's so amazing about watching babies is that they just, everything passes so quickly, right? One moment they'll be look like they are devastated in so much pain. It's like moment of their lives. And then it'll pass a moment later and they'll just move on to something else.
Wow. I am jealous of that. I mean, it's kind of amazing that they can just, I mean, just have an emotion, act on it, let it out. And then it's a new moment. And then they're
on to a new moment. Exactly. And they've communicated something, right, to their caregiver that they need something, right? And so obviously there's a function that's evolutionary there, right, in expressing their emotions. And it shows me or whoever else is caring for them that they need something different. But also it appears to serve some sort of function for them, right? It seems like there kind of is something that they need to let out. They do. And then they feel better and it's on to something else. Pretty amazing.
So that reminds me of something that happened with my dog Fiona the other day, which actually sounds very similar to that. And it was, we were taking a walk and Fiona loves to play with other dogs like that we pass on the street. But when she's with my other dog, Wilson, they cannot handle interacting with other dogs. They just get too like hyper and crazy. So we saw a dog coming our way and we just turned around. Like we didn't let her, you know, play with the other dog. And she got extremely frustrated. Like, I don't think I've ever seen her get quite like that. She just started like grunting and pouting and like running in circles and biting the leash and like just like fully having like a meltdown.
No inhibitions. Sounds like just nothing holding her back.
Yeah, she was not holding anything back. She was just having a full-blown meltdown and like little temper tantrum. And we kind of just let her do it. Like she just let it all out. And then like probably a minute later, probably like 60 seconds later, she was like on to the next thing. She was like sniffing the grass and wanted to walk into a different direction and completely over it.
I mean, clearly sometimes you just need to let things out. Right. And like, that's all it takes to feel better and move on. And I mean, I think the reason we're saying that that makes us jealous is because as adults, we don't really have the luxury of doing that. Right. You can't just throw a temper tantrum in the middle of a meeting at work.
Can you imagine if I just started barking in the middle of a meeting? I don't want to be here.
Probably not the most effective. And clearly there's something to be said for the fact that the babies and dogs in our examples, you know, in the moment without really taking too much time, act on it, express it, and then move on.
Right. I think the big difference between babies and animals and us too, is that they don't really have the capacity to think about the past in the same way that we do.
Or the future.
Or the future. Yeah. They're very present focused. So it's just, having an emotion, the focus that they're having is probably on the emotion, not on the thoughts. And what we know about emotions is that part of what keeps them around for so much longer in humans is the thoughts, is the fact that we linger and ruminate and worry, and all of those like cognitive processes is really what keeps the emotion from passing naturally.
Yeah, that's such a good point. So I guess let's talk about some ways to, you know, take the helpful parts of that and incorporate them into our lives, because there is something that's so healing and often effective about just acting on your emotion in the moment. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, me too.
So just to get started, let's go over, if you remember back to season one, we talked a lot in the emotion regulation module about something called an emotion regulation playbook.
Yeah, I think we gave it that name because we wanted to emphasize that it's very individualized, right? We each have our own playbooks. We each have certain urges that relate to our, that come about from different emotions. We all have different ways that we react to those urges, right? And then different consequences. And a lot of us kind of know, like, when I'm angry, I tend to yell in a way that I am not proud of. Or when I'm angry, I kind of withdraw and never confront the situation. And that makes things difficult for me, right? So you kind of need to know how things happen for you. Mm-hmm. And to go back to the emotion regulation module, the first step with any of this is you got to know what you're feeling, right? So you always need to use those mindfulness skills, observe and describe, to label the emotion, and then go from there, right? Notice, mm-hmm. what's my urge? What do I want to do with this emotion? And then, is it effective to act on that urge, right? So if I have the urge to yell at this person in this situation, would that be effective? And maybe the answer is yes, and maybe the answer is no, right? So if the answer is yes, it would be effective. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So when mm-hmm. it is effective to act on that emotion urge. And then if it wouldn't be effective, use our very favorite skill of opposite action to kind of make that urge and that emotional intensity go down in a different way.
Right. Yes. So to boil it down to its simplest components, if you're feeling an emotion, you want to first label that emotion. What am I feeling? And the next step is just asking yourself, is this effective to act on this emotion? And if no, opposite action. If yes, continue on.
Yes. Okay. I like that explanation.
Yeah. I mean, and we all have unwanted emotions that we feel more comfortable acting on versus ones that we typically avoid acting on. I know I do. You know, there are certain emotions like sadness, for example. For me, that's actually pretty easy to express, but some other emotions like anger is more difficult for me to express. And I'm sure we all kind of have that.
Yeah. And I mean, it makes sense. And as we always talk about, there are usually a lot of reasons for this, right? Everything is caused, DBT would tell us. And so maybe people in their learning histories have been taught to not express certain emotions, right? Maybe they've been punished for yelling or crying or, you know, whatever the case may be. And so they've kind of learned over time, like, you know what, when I feel that anger, I'm just going to do something else. I'm going to try to get rid of it and not act on it. And maybe in childhood, that was effective, right, to kind of get through the situation. But maybe now that the person is older and not in that situation anymore, it actually would be more effective to express that anger sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely have that too. Like I feel like for me, typically if I'm feeling afraid, I have no problem expressing that fear, telling other people I'm afraid, seeking comfort, you know, from others.
Yeah. But
there are other emotions. I think like hurt is really coming to mind.
That's,
you know, that fear of rejection, you know, I can kind of like squash that in the moment rather than sometimes even admitting to myself that I'm feeling it, let alone acting on it.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, now that you're saying it, I wonder if the emotions, I don't know, but I wonder if the emotions that we have more difficulty expressing are the ones that are also harder to label. Like, cause yeah. you kind of just want to push them away altogether. So you're like, not even really aware that you're feeling it. It's kind of just like, da, 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 like, I don't want to think about this. I'm just going to distract myself.
That's so true. I feel like, especially for me with the emotion of hurt, sometimes I don't even realize that I was hurt in a conversation with someone or whatever until like days or weeks later sometimes.
Wow. And that, of course, makes it so difficult to express that emotion in the moment if you don't even know that you're feeling it, right?
Yeah. It does. So part of it is mindfulness, right? Getting better at accurately labeling your true emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the same thing for me. I had said that like anger is something that's really hard for me to express. And I often notice that when I'm actually feeling angry, I think I'm feeling anxiety. Like, I'll like think to myself, like, oh, I'm really anxious right now. But when I think about the situation that just happened, like it would make sense to actually be angry. And then I later realized like, oh, I was actually angry and I didn't express that at all. And maybe that's why I was feeling anxious, because I didn't express that. But again, like same as you, it's difficult to express that anger in the moment when I don't even realize that's how I feel.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe for you, it's about when you feel anxious, kind of noticing that and being like, am I anxious or might I be angry?
Right. Like anxiety could be a cue to like take a step back. Again, going back to the emotion regulation playbooks, like that's kind of me knowing myself, like if I'm anxious. Yeah. Maybe that's a cue that I can ask myself that question.
That's a good point. I'm thinking about the emotion. I think it's similar to anger, but not maybe quite as intense, which is the feeling of being annoyed.
Oof. Yep.
Oh, that's a tough one. And it's another one where like, I really don't often express it in the moment and I would rather just kind of not think about it. And so I feel like I try really hard to get rid of it, or not acknowledge to myself that I'm feeling it.
Right.
In order to kind of avoid having to do anything about it, because it's so uncomfortable. I'm like squirming just thinking about feeling annoyed. I really don't like it.
What are some things that make you feel annoyed?
I think the thing that I'm thinking about right now, maybe just because I spend all my time on Zoom, but you know, if I'm trying to focus on something and maybe there's a distraction, whether it's from a person in the meeting or a noise outside my window or something, like I really don't like that feeling of being distracted.
That really annoys me too. When I start to feel like things are chaotic, cause like too many people are talking at the same time, or there's background noise and like a lot of videos, if you're leading a group or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I also feel like we've gotten so good, you and I, at using other DBT skills, like self-soothe or improve the moment or something to kind of like change how we're feeling, right? We use a lot of these emotion regulation and distress tolerance skills, and that's great. And sometimes it might actually be more effective to just express that feeling of being annoyed, right? Like, hey, could you turn down, could you put yourself on mute? Like your noise is kind of distracting me, right?
Instead of like spraying yourself with rose, like spray and putting peppermint oil on your wrists and lighting candles to try to self-soothe yourself out of the feeling.
Right. Because like, maybe I'll be on a meeting with that person next week. And if I focus so much on like soothing myself in order to get over the thing that they're doing rather than confronting them about it, is the same problem's going to happen. Right. Rather than improving our working relationship so that the thing no longer annoys me.
Right. Right.
Ooh, hard though.
I mean, and this just explains too why it can be really effective to actually act on some of these emotions, because what you're describing is like, you know, even in a workplace relationship, like if you think about, you know, let's say somebody is constantly having background noise in their video and you don't say anything to them, like, I mean, how do you think that's going to probably impact the relationship that you have with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not gonna want to work with them as much when actually they probably had no idea that I was feeling annoyed about their background noise.
Right. And you might even get in your head and be like, well, they should know that their background noise is annoying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like it can really take on a life of its own when it would be probably a lot simpler and more effective and more efficient even to just say like, hey, would you mind keeping the background noise down? It's, you know, a little distracting to me.
I mean, I think what we're basically talking about here is self-respect and improving relationships, right? As two main reasons why it can be really effective to act on your unwanted emotions.
Yeah.
You know, even if it might in the moment feel really scary or really aversive to express feeling annoyed, to express feeling angry, to express feeling hurt, like ultimately it can, if done in the right way, can actually make you closer to the person that you're expressing it to. And even if it doesn't, or even if it's not the goal, sometimes it's just about kind of speaking up for yourself when you're feeling that way so that you don't, you know, have your self-respect threatened later.
Yeah, I'm thinking about this, you know, the fact that self-respect and relationships are both impacted positively by acting on some of these unwanted emotions, or they can be at least. So like, let me give you a scenario and let's talk it through how those two areas might be impacted. Let's say you're throwing a big party and you're really excited about it. And, you know, most of the people that you invited can come. And then one of your closest friends texts you and just says like, hey, sorry, can't make it to your party. And you've been planning this party for like months. And they don't give you like a good excuse. They don't say, I'm sorry. You know, they don't give you like a genuine apology. It's kind of just like, yeah, I can't make it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would probably feel really hurt if that was something that happened to me. Okay. And I think for me, at least, that would be something that would be difficult for me to know how to like actually respond to my friend if that were to happen.
I completely agree. Or what if even if it was in person? Because sometimes with text, you at least have the opportunity to plan what you're going to respond, right? Or you could always, you know, respond 2 days later and be like, oh, sorry, just saw your text. Right. You know, it kind of hurt my feelings that you can't come and whatever. But what if it's in the moment?
I'm so unfamiliar with having in-person interactions these days. Like, I mean, in the moment, I think most people will probably just default to whatever they're most, you know, the way that they're most used to responding. Like if you're someone who typically expresses, you know, feeling hurt, maybe by anger, you might just express some anger. Or if you're someone who typically shuts those emotions down, you might just say nothing and say, oh, no problem. It's totally fine.
I have such a hard time with this. I feel like we got to talk through this because I genuinely, this is something I need help with. I think that for me, it's so hard to know what to say in the moment, not only to know what to say, but to know whether to say something like, oh, should I just let this go? Like, you know, this friend, they have a pretty good track record, right? Like they usually respond positively to my invitations and, or, you know, whatever I don't usually feel hurt by them, or have I felt hurt by them in the past? I don't know. Is it worth saying something? I'd be less awkward if I just kind of moved on. Right. And this is like the internal dialogue that I'm trying to have all within the span of 5 seconds as I'm deciding whether or not to say anything. It's really hard. It's really hard to know when to kind of pick your battles versus express yourself.
Right. And it sounds like you're trying to do two things. Like one is you're trying to figure out like, are my emotions valid? Mm. Is it valid that I feel hurt by this, or am I being quote unquote too sensitive? Mm-hmm. And the other thing that you're thinking about is this going to negatively impact the relationship if I do express this right now? And is it worth it to take that risk?
You're so right. And so I feel like too often the default is just, for me, is just to kind of let it go. But then as we're talking about over time, that can really negatively impact relationships. It can, right. You know, make me feel less close to the person. It can, damage my own self-respect because I didn't express myself. And then I later regret that. And I wish that the person had known how I felt, because later I decide, yeah, that was a pretty valid way to feel. You know, that person should have known, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like, you know, it almost sounds like you avoid it because it feels like that's the safer way to go. Like, okay, if I avoid this confrontation, then there will be no harm done. But what's not being taken into consideration is that, like, there actually is harm done when you avoid important conversations with people that you care about. It impacts the relationship and it impacts your self-respect.
So, okay, as we're coaching me through this, because this is so helpful and can improve so many of my relationships, I think, how do you do it, right? I mean, how do you pick the perfect thing to say in the moment without having time to think about it that isn't overly, you know, intense to the point where it drives the person or pushes the person away, but kind of adequately reflects how you're feeling, that you're hurt, that your self-respect is being threatened, that, like, hashing this out would make the friendship stronger. Like, what do you do?
Oof, I definitely don't know the perfect thing to say. What comes to mind for me, though, is that one of the benefits, I guess, of saying something in the moment is that it doesn't have to seem like that big of a deal. If you wait a week or 10 days to say something because you're mulling it over, you want to say that perfect thing, you want to make sure you consult with all of your other friends and your partner to figure out, like, is my emotion valid? Do I have a right to say this? What's the best way? You know, like, by that point, if you say something 10 days from when the interaction happened, it might seem to the other person like a lot bigger deal than if you had just said it in the moment.
That's so true. Like, they might interpret that as like, oh, my friend went home and thought about this constantly. They must be so mad at me. This must be this huge thing that they were just like building up in their mind. Right. It's like, if you say it in the moment, it benefits both you and the friend, because then you could just kind of hash it out.
Right. And you can do it in a way, I think, that's a little bit lighter or using more easy manner, like, to go back to the give skills for a second, just like, you know, you could probably, I'm not sure exactly the wording, but I feel like you could say it in a little bit more of a joking, you know, irreverent way. Like, when were you planning to tell me that you weren't going to come to my party? Or, you know, like, just kind of a one-liner that gets across the fact that, like, yeah, I'm a little bit hurt. Not the end of the world, but this is how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. I love the give skills, you know, kind of humor, easy manner, twinkle in the eye kind of thing. Yeah. And I think even if you can't come up with that in the moment, because sometimes that can be a little hard, I think even just saying like, oh, that's too bad, that kind of hurts my feelings. Like, maybe we can, you know, do something else instead, right? Like, keeping it positive, but still expressing the emotion.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot. Like, and it's kind of like when people say, what do they say? Like a compliment sandwich or something like that. Something good, something a little bit difficult to say, and then ending on a positive note as well.
You know, I'm just thinking during this conversation, you and I are so good at this. And my closest relationships in my life are people that I feel less afraid or hesitant about saying things in the moment and just kind of getting it out there rather than like stewing or ruminating and saying something a week later. And I feel like, you know, even with making this podcast, there have been moments where you and I have maybe had a slight disagreement or seen things a different way from the other, but we just don't really give it any time to like fester. And so we just kind of say our piece calmly, work it out, and then move on. And I feel like that's what's allowed us to maintain such a strong working relationship and friendship at the same time.
I could not agree more. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it makes it a little bit easier to think about this, because this is actually a relationship that we have with each other where we actually do this very effectively. And, you know, one observation that I'm making, like, in kind of reflecting back on our process of making this podcast and some of the difficult conversations we've had to have, I think we keep it pretty focused on ourselves when we say things. Like, I'm never like, Liza, you didn't do X, Y, and Z. Like, it's not that that would ever happen because you're humorous to exactly what, you know, but, but it's focused on like, like, okay, I see it this way. Like, or, you know, you see it this way, I see it this way, or, you know, I feel this way. Like, it's more focused on like, you know, this is how I see it, as opposed to attacking or blaming or, you know, criticizing the other person.
That's so true. Using those I statements. I also think something that's really effective is kind of naming, like, really just naming your own emotion or your own fear, again, in kind of a lighthearted way. Like, I will often say to you, or you'll often say to me, like, I may be, this just may be my own anxiety talking, or my own perfectionist attitude, you know, mindset talking, but can we go over this thing again? Right. And it, then it kind of keeps it, I think that's a really good way of keeping it light and not, you know, and kind of not accusatory.
Self-awareness goes a long way.
Yeah, sure does.
I think you told me that one of your other friends is really good about this, where they said something to you like, you know, I might be in my head about this, but, you know, are you feeling XYZ way about me right now? Instead, which is like something I really like, that was a great example, because that's something, it's kind of like a check the facts situation almost, where like you can definitely just spiral in your own head. Or you could just notice that you're feeling a bit hurt because you're starting to have thoughts that the other person is thinking negatively about you. And you just ask them that.
I'm so glad you remembered that example. I think what was so effective about it that my friend did was, you know, we could have had the rest of our time together and she would have been worried about something, you know, that didn't turn out to be true, right? That's where the check the facts was. And it would have affected the rest of our time. And maybe I would have left that, you know, that interaction being like, what was up with my friend? Is something wrong? Right. Is she mad at me? Like, it just would have taken on this whole new life, right? Yeah. And instead, she just said it, said her piece in a very kind of non-defensive, non-accusatory way. And then we just talked about it and moved on.
That seems like it was probably really helpful for both of you. And I mean, and did that make you think anything negatively of her? Because I think that's the fear of the person saying the thing, that like, oh, is the other person going to think I'm being crazy or too sensitive or?
No, I think because of the way she presented it, not at all.
Okay. So she was kind of, it sounds like she was pretty matter of fact in the way that she presented it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. That's a good thank you, friend.
Coaching. This is like a coaching session in the middle of our episode.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, this is helpful to me too. I'm glad we're talking about this. So clearly we know how hard it can be to know like when or how to act on these unwanted emotions. So maybe we can go through some examples for like when it does actually make sense to act on a few of the key emotions that we all experience. So maybe we could talk about anger, sadness, grief, and shame.
Yeah. And again, if we haven't said this explicitly, some people have no problem acting on their anger or sadness or shame to the point where it can actually cause problems for them, right? Like some people who, you know, when they feel angry, their go-to is to start yelling, and that has caused problems for them, right? So if that's you with a specific emotion, okay, maybe you don't want to use this strategy that we're talking about. However, this is really for times when you've noticed that that kind of holding in your emotion, trying to get rid of it, not acting on it, trying to kind of talk yourself out of something has actually caused problems for you, and it would be more helpful to, you know, to do something about the way that you're feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's an important disclaimer. Yeah. So for this next section, kind of focusing in on the emotions that you typically struggle to express, not the ones that you find yourself having a very easy time expressing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it may be helpful as we're laying all of these out to talk about what the function of each of these emotions is, because we know that the purpose of emotions is to communicate something to ourselves and to others, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a really helpful question to ask when you're deciding what to do about it.
Yes. Good. So let's start with anger. So the function of anger is to protect yourself or your tribe, your family, like your group. And it can also be to express to somebody else that you're feeling angry when a goal of yours has been blocked. So when you want something and you don't get it, anger is also an emotion that comes in at, like in those moments.
Yeah, I love that way of just talking about it so simply, because I think in our society, we've been, you know, taught that anger is such a bad thing when actually it's really important. You know, I mean, I think about parents and their children or something like that. If that child is in danger, you know, the parent needs to protect them. And sometimes anger is an effective way to, you know, to do that.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, not to keep bringing it back to Fiona, but
Fiona's the star of the podcast.
Fiona's the star of this episode, but I was at a dog park with her one time and somebody tried to kick her. She was like trying to play with their dog. Right. And they didn't want her to play with their dog and they tried to kick her and I yelled at them and I didn't even feel bad about it. And that's really not my, not how I typically communicate with people, but it was one of those moments when it's like, I'm feeling angry. The function of anger in this moment is to protect my fur baby.
Yeah.
And it actually is effective for me to express that because, you know, I'm like, it's anger is a way to communicate to other people, like back off, you know, you've crossed a boundary, your behavior is hurting me and you need to stop.
So true. And I bet, you know, Fiona would do the same for you, right? If you, her human was being threatened, she would express anger toward the human that was hurting you, right?
Right.
It goes both ways. So it's clearly, there's clearly like an evolutionary function behind it.
Yeah. It's really helpful. Like when we were talking before about like wondering, like, is this emotion valid? For me, like thinking about the function of emotions is helpful too, to think about like, because sometimes you feel angry and it's really like hurt or sadness that is more difficult to, you don't really want to feel that sadness or that grief. So instead it comes out as anger.
Yeah.
But when you think about the function of the emotion, it can help you kind of decipher like, is this really, is this anger that's like my primary emotion or is anger that secondary emotion that's really covering up an emotion that's a little bit softer underneath that?
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I mean, I think the example with Fiona is pretty straightforward, right? You're going to yell at the person who kicked your dog. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if there is an example that might be a little bit less obvious. Can you think of a time when you were feeling angry and maybe it would have been effective to act on it?
Yes, there was a time relatively recently when someone who I was with, they asked me something important, something, I can't remember the details, but they asked me about something that was important to me. Mm-hmm. And I started responding and sharing about my life. And then they kind of interrupted me and changed the subject and started talking about themselves.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I was like, ooh, like, okay, that kind of hurts. And I did something that was, I think, using what we're talking about in this episode, something that was a little different for me. And I actually said to them, like, hey, like, you just asked me about something that was really important to me, but then you interrupted me and changed the subject to talk about yourself. And when you did that, it made me really feel like you don't care about what I'm saying. And it makes me want to shut down and stop talking. And I don't want to feel like that. I want to be able to talk to you about this.
Wow. That sounds so effective. First of all, because it sounds like you noticed that it was anger. Your goal was being blocked, right? Your goal of telling this person about something important was being blocked. And so you expressed it using aspects of the Dear Man skill that we taught last season, right? You used observe and describe, just the facts, right? You talked about how it made you feel and you asked them very explicitly what to do differently.
Mm-hmm. And it feels great too.
Uh-huh.
Like when you do that, like I felt, first of all, the other person responded very well to that. And they were like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to, continue, please. And, you know, and then it made me feel like, okay, well, now they do care about what I'm saying. So that made me feel good that, like, you know, I got to have the interaction that I was originally looking for. It made me feel closer to the person because they knew how I was feeling, mm-hmm. and they cared about how I was feeling. They responded yeah. well. And it made me feel good in terms of that self-respect too. Like I stood up for myself, and that feels, you know, that kind of increases your sense of confidence.
I mean, it reminds me of what we were talking about earlier. I bet that if you hadn't done that and you had just kind of ignored it and let the conversation go in a different direction and not gotten to tell the person what you wanted to tell them, you probably would have gone home and really regretted that, you know, and ruminated about it. And as you said, felt very distant from the person, been mad at the person, you know, until the next time you saw them, or maybe even then, you would have probably felt very disrespected. Mm-hmm. And instead you just kind of dealt with it in the moment. The person responded well, and then you moved on.
Yeah. It felt very effective for, you know, for a lot of reasons. So I think that's a little bit more of a nuance, but, and again, even in that situation, I didn't fully like express anger, you know, I wasn't yelling or anything like that, but I was sharing my feelings with somebody, and that was difficult to do.
That's so important. I mean, you did it in a way that they could hear it, right? The problem with yelling at someone is that they usually can't hear it because then they get very defensive. Whereas instead, if you can kind of speak in a calm way while still expressing yourself, it's usually, you know, met with much better reception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's move on to the feeling of sadness and grief, which is, you know, related. It tends to be a very extreme form of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
This is the question we get a lot, you know, when is it effective to just act on your sadness rather than trying to, you know, do something to make yourself feel better in the moment?
Mm.
It's a really hard and a really important one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this relates to what we were saying before, like, is sadness an emotion that you have a really easy time expressing? Like, are you someone who's maybe struggles with depression, somebody who, you know, tends to find themselves like sleeping a lot during the day when they're feeling sad, or really acting on those urges that are associated with sadness? Because if so, maybe opposite action would actually be more effective for you. But for people who, you know, have a harder time expressing sadness and tend to, you know, always want to be like pushing that sadness away, trying to stay active, trying to be, you know, positive and like, you know, optimistic and all that stuff, expressing that sadness could be something to think about.
Yeah, that's so true. It is really important to make that distinction for yourself, and it can change, you know, throughout your life at different points. Mm-hmm. I think it comes back to this question of what's the function of sadness. And we know that the function of sadness is to let yourself heal and to get support, you know, especially from other people. And so if you just constantly push that away, you're really not giving yourself that opportunity. Kind of get through whatever it is that's making you sad. And so I think what we would suggest would be to lean into that rather than turn away from it. You know, to kind of, we've talked about this in previous episodes, like maybe it's throwing yourself a pity party, right? Mm-hmm. Just kind of lying in bed, watching a TV show with the blankets over your head, right? Again, not if you're doing this 24/7 and it's becoming a problem, but if it's something that you are doing quite infrequently, it can be so healing to just be kind to yourself and allow yourself to feel that sadness really intensely until you move on to something else.
Yeah. I mean, this is why it feels good to cry. Again, like talking about biological reasons that we have these emotions or these expressions of our emotions, like crying is a very powerful release. And when you allow yourself to cry, anyone who's had a good cry knows like you do feel better afterwards.
The best. Yes. Can be the best. Yeah.
Or even asking for a hug. That's something that I started doing recently, like obviously with people that I feel close with and comfortable with, but if I'm feeling sad, like I've been asking my partner, like, can I just have a hug right now?
Mm.
And it really is very helpful. Instead of like pushing that sadness away and pretending you're not feeling it, it's just like, I'm having a tough day. Like, can I have a hug?
And it lets the person know that you're having a tough day, right? Because if you didn't let them know and you just kind of pretended it wasn't happening, then you might be acting a little off. They might notice that, right? Then they might start to feel annoyed at you or wonder if they did something wrong. And then, as we said, it kind of spirals out of control. So if instead you can communicate your true emotion and actually ask for help, it's effective not only for you, but for your relationship.
Great point. Yep. Let's talk a little bit about shame.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a tough one, right? Because the function of shame, I feel like I always get this one confused. The function of shame is actually to sort of do the opposite of what we're talking about, right? To actually, shame is telling you that it would be effective to kind of hide and turn away from the situation, right?
Right, exactly. So if you did something where shame does fit the facts, like if you actually did something that other people would reject you for, if you did share that with them, that's what we're talking about. Like, when does it make sense to actually not share things with people that you feel ashamed about or hide a little bit? Like, when is that actually a good idea to do?
I feel like this is something we never talk about. Normally we're trying to get people to act opposite to shame and talk about the thing that they, you know, are afraid to talk about.
That's because I think a lot of the time people feel shame for things that other people wouldn't actually reject them for, but they just believe that other people would reject them for.
That's such an important point. This is really a check the facts situation. You know, I can think of an example actually from a TV show that I just watched.
Perfect.
So this is a TV show. Steve Carell is in it, and he's the character that I'm talking about. And he is being accused of some behavior, which, you know, he clearly did, involves sexual harassment and some more, even more serious charges beyond that. And he, in the show, tries to, you know, basically stay in the spotlight, try to defend himself, you know, try to really stay relevant and in the news. He's a famous person in the show. And this would be a situation where it would be a lot more effective for everyone else to just take a break.
Yeah.
Right? Acknowledge the shame, go away for a little while and just stay out of it.
That's a perfect example.
Before apologizing, obviously, it's really in that situation more about the healing of the people who are coming forward than it is about him and his and his feelings.
Well, and I think that brings up a good point about shame, that sometimes shame can make you want to hide, but can also make you want to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not always effective. Like, if you actually did something that where shame does fit the facts, sometimes just taking some time to be by yourself, taking some time to, you know, sit with what you've done and, you know, not actually defending yourself and not necessarily sharing it with other people is
right. Because ultimately you need time to process it and figure out the best course of action to actually make amends. And the other person needs time for their own healing. So yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I'm glad we're talking about this, because that is one that we never talk about shame in that specific context.
Yeah,
very rare that I hear like a client even, or, you know, someone I'm working with that is feeling shame for something that, you know, it would make sense to do that, but it does happen, you know?
It does happen. Yeah.
Wrapping this up, maybe we could talk a little bit about, like, when is it actually not effective to act on unwanted emotions? So in other words, when should you really use opposite action?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times when the emotion or its intensity doesn't fit the facts, right? And we have done episodes about opposite action, and it's clear that there's a lot of times when, you know, you might be feeling anxious about something that isn't in line with what's actually happening. And so you got to kind of face your fear and move forward, right? Like it's very clear that a lot of times that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
I think what may be a little bit less clear based on some conversations we've had today is, when is it just not the right moment? You know, like we've talked today about if you're feeling hurt and you're having a conversation with a friend, maybe just express it, maybe just express your anger so that you can move on. But it's not always the right time for that, you know?
Right. Like, what if someone just had a baby or something, and then you feel kind of hurt that they like haven't been responding to your texts?
Maybe not the most effective time.
Right. Even if your emotion is, you know, valid, it makes sense. It would maybe even help you to be able to express it. Thinking about that context is kind of what you're saying. Like, in this context, given what the other person's going through as well, is this a good time for me to express this?
Right. Like, do they have the capacity to receive the feedback, basically?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So whether it's effective depends not only just on yourself, but also on like where the other person is at.
Yeah. That's a really, I think that's a good place to end.
Okay, great. What a fun
episode. This was such a fun and important episode. And I just loved being able to, you know, reference the skills that we taught last season without needing to go into full explanations, because you have the episodes, right? 1 through 25. So if at any point we say a skill and you either don't remember it or you didn't get a chance to listen to that episode, just go back at any time and listen to any of the previous ones we've done.
Absolutely. And just continue to email us too. If you have any questions that you want us to address in season 2, therapistsinthewild@gmail.com.
And as always, remember to follow us on Instagram and Facebook @therapistsinthewild and on Twitter @therapistswild. And to call back to the beginning of the episode, remember that we have a new website that we'd love for you to check out, where we will be talking about the consulting services that we're offering. And that website, again, is therapistsinthewild.com.
And until next episode, stay skillful, everyone.